Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Resurrection. Now what? What's next? If I can draw your attention to verse 16, says the 11 went to Galilee as they were told. They went to Galilee, climbed this mountain to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I've been traveling a lot lately, and the Lord just has me on the road, and some really interesting things happening with me, and praise God for that. And one of the things that's been happening as I've been staying in these different hotels, I started doing something recently, and in which when I was talking to a bishop, one of my bishops, and one of the bishops that I'm under, and he was telling me how when most of us get out of the tub, when most of us get out of the shower, even though most of the time we're by ourselves. Think about it. Most of you, when you get out the tub, most of you, when you get out the shower, you're by yourself. But it's interesting how you immediately grab for a towel and start to cover up right away. One of the things I've been doing lately is getting out the shower and spending as much time naked in front of the mirror as I can take it. My God, I'm shaving naked. Help us, Lord. I brush my teeth naked. As long as I do my hair, I put the stuff in my hair. As long as I can, I just stand and face the real me. I know that the immediate response is to grab a towel and immediately wrap up. At least the bottom. For dudes, at least the bottom part. Women, you're by yourself, and right away you got something going. Now, I'm amazed at how my wife can seem to wrap her whole body up with one towel. It's just not possible for me, or maybe this is just some cheap towel Bruce gave me. But anyway, that there's a desire or a tendency right away to cover yourself, and it just makes me think about us. And even this series that I just came out of, in which we talked about where our spirit really is, because I think the Holy Spirit is something we use to cover our nakedness. I think churchy is what we use to cover our nakedness. I think we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise God for it. But very often, we if we're not careful, we'll use praise to cover our nakedness and never really come to grips with who we really are. Something about that mirror work. How often do we fully disrobe? Right now, we just covering ourselves with all kinds of towels. How often do we really fully stand and just face ourselves for real? We cover ourselves with the concepts of our culture. We cover ourselves with our defensiveness about our generation. We cover ourselves with music. We cover ourselves with Netflix. We cover ourselves with Instagram. We cover ourselves with the lies that we tell ourselves so we can sleep at night. We cover ourselves. We are constantly covered with something that's inadequate. Challenge of our coverings is that you may be covering your front, but your back's exposed. My God, you may cover your bottom, but your top's exposed. That it's just a reality of life. Some point, you have to be honest. This is Easter. Can we be honest on Easter? Can we fully disrobe? Can we be honest about this moment? I love this passage. Jesus has been resurrected. The angels have appeared. They have rolled the stone away. The angel is gleaming in white. We all know the story. It's Easter. We've heard it 1,000 times. I doubt highly that there's anybody listening or watching that hasn't heard the Easter story. Angel comes down, rolls the stone away, sits on the stone. The guards are so scared they pass out like they dead. The women are on their way to anoint the body of Jesus, even though Jesus has told them that he would be risen on the third day. They're going there expecting to anoint a dead body. In spite of what he said, they didn't believe him. In spite of what he prophesied to them, they did not believe him. They're going there looking to anoint a dead Jesus. On the way, they're thinking, who's going to roll the stone away so we can get in there and anoint his body? It's Easter morning, but nobody's ready. It's Easter morning, but nobody's prepared. It's Easter morning, but no one believes in Easter. On the first Easter, nobody believed in it. It's Easter Sunday morning and nobody has faith. It's Easter Sunday morning and everybody's got fear. Angel comes down, rolls the stone away. The women get there. The angel has to say to them, they're afraid but filled with joy. My God, I wonder if anybody knows what that's like, to be afraid and still full of joy, to be scared but still have joy, because they are facing something they've never seen before. The angel says, he's not dead, he's risen. This is Easter, Christianity. He's not dead, he is risen. We sang the songs growing up. Death, where is your sting? Sting, where is your grave? He got up. God raised him up. We grew up singing the songs. Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Why are you looking for a living thing in a dead place? There's so many sermons I've preached in all of these years, 37 years. I've preached so many Easter sermons. We all know the story. The angel says, go tell his disciples to meet him in Galilee like he said. As they turn to go, Jesus appears, says, greetings. What's up? Hey. They fall on their feet and they worship him. And he repeats the message. Go tell my brothers. Go tell the guys that spent the last 3.5 years with me. Go tell the guys who ate with me the most and talked to me the most and heard me the most and saw me work miracles the most. Go tell them I'm alive like I told them. Don't tell them I told you so. Don't tell them to meet me on the mountain I told them to meet me on. And then we get down to verse 16. We get down to the verse here where it says the 11 go to Galilee to the mountainside where Jesus had told them, and they worshiped him. But some doubted. My God, I can't help but see you and me in this particular moment. This is Easter. This is Easter. On Easter, what do? On Easter, we ascend the mountain. My God, I trust. If there's no other time you go to the mountain of the Lord, if there's never a moment in which you say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? If there's any time that you climb this mountain, it's Easter. That's very different that we're bringing it to you, because mostly this is the Sunday where we can't seat nobody. Everybody decides to get up, gets their hair cut, gets their clothes on, and comes to the mountain of the Lord. And ultimately, church is supposed to be higher. Church is higher. Church is supposed to be something lofty. Church is supposed to be something that you are determined to reach. Church is not just about convenience. Church is not just about you hearing what your tickling ears want to hear. Church is supposed to be something that makes you sweat. Church is supposed to be something that takes you to an altitude that you're not used to. Church is supposed to be a place where maybe it's not so easy to breathe. Churches climb higher. Jesus said, go tell my brothers to climb higher. Go tell the believers, climb higher. Go tell somebody, climb higher, because the call is to higher. That's us today. So they climb the mountain and they see Jesus. That's the second part. To see the Lord. This is harder. It's harder to see the Lord. Some of us end up in church and it's harder to see the Lord. We're so busy seeing people. We're so busy seeing hypocrites. We're so busy seeing mess. We're so busy seeing gifts. We're so busy seeing human and folk and tradition. It's hard to see Jesus. I know for me growing up, Easter was just about my Easter suit and me hoping and praying that it wasn't high waters this year, hoping my suit still fit and hoping I knew my Easter piece. And that's what Easter was about. It was so much about the flesh and so much about the day that did I really see Jesus? My God, my desire and my prayer and my hope is that you'll see Jesus today. We brought in guest worship leaders for you to see Jesus. We did this so you'll see the risen King. To see the resurrected Jesus. My God, that's higher. That's harder. That's higher and harder. To see the resurrected Lord. To see Jesus after the crucifixion, the miracles, the crucifixion, the resurrection. Now our prayer is that you will see the risen King. That's who we're trying to get you to praise, the risen King. We're trying to get you to praise the resurrected Jesus. I don't mind having conversations about folk and about the history of Jesus, and there's all kinds of magazines and stuff in the grocery stores talking about who is Jesus and looking at the history of Jesus and the birth of Jesus, and all of that's awesome and wonderful, but you can get so caught up in the history of Jesus that you never come to grips with the resurrected Christ. All of this is about you having a relationship with the resurrected Jesus. Have you seen the resurrected? Don't be so much about Pastor Andy you don't see the resurrected Jesus. Don't be so much about your leader that you don't see the resurrected Jesus. Don't be so much about somebody's name that you don't see the resurrected Christ. They climb higher. They see the Lord. And then they worshiped. Can you worship? Can you worship? We didn't spend all of this time worshiping for you to be entertained. We spent this time worshiping to see, can you worship? Can you forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship? Can you sacrifice? Can it not be about you for a second? Can you get out of your own brain and out of your own mind space and out of your own ego? Can you say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, can you say, where would I be without God in my life? Can you say, my God, my soul looks back and wonders, how did I get to this place? How did we make it? How's the church still surviving? How are we still going? How is this still taking? How do I still have my job? How do I still have my house? How do I still have my car? How do I still have, if there be any praise, let it go to Calvary. To God be the glory for the great things He has done. Can you worship? Can you ascend? Can you climb higher? Can you see the resurrected Jesus? Can you worship Him? It's amazing how many people go to church and never worship. It's amazing how many of us grew up in church being entertained and never worshiped. We watched other people shout and never worshiped. Something wrong with you if somebody starts praising and you don't feel something. Something wrong with you if somebody gets the anointing. Something's wrong with you if worship is not contagious. Can you worship? They go higher. They see the resurrected Jesus. They worshiped, but some doubted. It's the fourth part of it, doubt. Can you admit the doubt? It's incredible, but it's true. It is absolutely possible for you to be tuned in on Easter. Absolutely possible for you to come to an Easter service. Absolutely possible for you to get dressed, put your clothes on, come to Easter. You've done it a million times. Absolutely possible for you to be in here and actually see, we hope, as a result of what happened, you sense the anointing of God and you realize that you're looking at the today, present day, totally relevant and applicable, risen Jesus, the body of Christ, risen, not dead, alive. It's absolutely possible that you clapped your hands a little bit. Absolutely possible that maybe you sang with us a little bit. Absolutely possible that you worshiped God a little bit and still doubt. Oh, let's take the robe off. Absolutely possible to worship God around your doubt. I wish I had a witness. Absolutely possible to worship God and you not sure. Absolutely possible for you to say hallelujah and you don't know where it's going to come from. Absolutely possible for you to love God and worship God and not be sure. One of the reasons why folk don't want to have nothing to do with Christians is because we act more sure than we are. You can worship in doubt. You can come to church in doubt. Still doubt. And here's the kicker. And I know I'm going to say this and there's going to be some folk who are not going to like it. But I can say this. Here's the kicker. I got hope for you. The kicker is doubt don't bother Jesus. We know that Jesus knows their thoughts. We are looking at the resurrected Christ. The Christ on the earth before the crucifixion and the resurrection knew their thoughts. Here we're looking at the resurrected Jesus, knows that they doubt. He knows all things. He sees them. They worship. In the passage in Mark, it says he rebukes them for their lack of faith and their determination to doubt, to not believe the people who had seen him since he has risen. Their stubborn refusal to believe the people who had not seen him, who had seen him when he was risen. Doubt, he rebukes them, but he doesn't reject them. He rebukes them, but he doesn't say, get behind me. He's upset with them. But he's not pushed to the point of disengagement from them. I know you're saying, yeah, but without faith it's impossible to please God. And I get that. And it is impossible to please God. But the reason why Jesus will say to his disciples, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? But Jesus doesn't end relationships with people based on doubt. I love that. I need that because I got to be honest. I'm not always sure. Reason why doubt don't bother Jesus is because Jesus knows the answer to doubt. For everybody that's dealing with doubt, anyone dealing with doubt, COVID made you doubt. Loss made you doubt. Pain made you doubt. Your mama dying made you doubt. You lost a loved one, it made you doubt. Your brother died. Someone died. Someone was lost. Someone's in trouble, and it made you doubt. Can we disrobe for a minute? Can we stop being so spooky deep and spiritual? Can we drop our towel? Can we stand in front of the mirror naked for just a minute? Can we be honest? We have doubts. So anyone who's dealing with doubts, anyone where life has handed you a hand and now you're thinking, I'm not sure. It's all right. I got the answer to doubt. I got the answer to doubt. I got it. I got the answer to doubt. You ready? You ready for it? Here's the answer. The answer to doubt is serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. I've got to serve the Lord. I've got to serve the Lord. When I was younger, we used to sing a song. It says, I got to serve the Lord. I got to serve him in the morning. I've got to serve him in the noonday. I got to serve him in the midnight hour. I got to serve the Lord. Mark chapter 10 and verse 43. I'll just throw it on the screens for you. Read it in your hearing because I'm suggesting something to you. And in verse 43, Jesus says to them, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What's Jesus saying in this passage? That's in line with my concept for this morning, resurrection. Now what? What's next? Jesus is intimating a concept to us that is the answer to our doubt. It is the answer to our lack. It is the answer to the difficulty in our life. He's in essence saying that greatness is connected to service. Want to be great? You got to stop thinking about how well everything in life serves you. Want to be great? Greatness doesn't come from all of the stuff that you accumulate. Want to be great? Greatness comes from what you bring, not what you receive. I was somewhere recently, and I was around some single mamas, and there was a young woman there, and she's a single mother, and she had a little daughter that was 2 years old. And I just got to talk, and she started asking me about the grace of God. She said, I don't understand grace. Can you explain grace to me? I said, what do you mean you don't understand grace? Of course you understand grace. You have a child that's two. You have a daughter that's two. The only reason why that child's alive is because of grace. That child don't bring nothing to you. Everything that child brings is pain and problems. That child offers nothing. That child brings nothing to the table. That child is just a great big ball of suck. Sucking life from you, suck milk from you, suck energy from you, suck your time up. She brings nothing to the table. All she's doing is living on grace. And she just didn't want to admit it, how much a two-year-old, especially for a mama, especially for a single mama, take a man to say, this child is getting on my nerves. Take a male perspective to say, that's a bothersome little child. Take a man to say, and what good are you? At one point, I was kind of moving something. We were doing something, and we were moving something. It was a group of us, and she was there. And I think we were bringing in groceries. I called her little behind out. I said, come on out. She came out. I put something in her hand, put this in this hand, put this in that hand, something light like some paper towels. I said, carry that on in to the house, and she carried it on in. And I started to praise her for her service. We're doing so much praising for being that we have not taught these people to be praised because they serve. My God, hallelujah. I know this is what I'm going to get fussed at over being too generational, but I wasn't raised being served. I was raised to serve. All of my sporting events had to be in my neighborhood because my parents didn't take us nowhere. Didn't nobody take you to no soccer practice? Didn't nobody? Their life didn't revolve around yours. Your life revolved around theirs. I was around someone the other day and they told me that they heard a four-year-old say, I'm ready to go. Had parents packed up and got ready to go. When I was four, dared to part my lips and say, I'm ready to go, I'd have woke up in my bed from my coma because the world was not about me. We have taught you all something wrong. We have served you to the point where now you think the world owes you something. It's not the way to greatness. The way to greatness is not to be served, but to serve. And the reason why doubt don't really bother Jesus is because Jesus has an ulterior motive, and his ulterior motive is kingdom. Jesus don't need perfection for kingdom to get done. Oh, I wish I had. Jesus don't need nobody perfect for kingdom to get done. If Jesus needed somebody perfect to run these cameras, we'd be in trouble. If Jesus needed somebody perfect to play them keys, you would be in trouble. Jesus don't need perfection. Without his mercy and his grace, we would be consumed. But because Jesus is determined to build his church, when Jesus sees you, when Jesus sees me, his thought is, what good are you? I know you're just thinking, oh, the love of Jesus, and oh, he loves us, and oh, how he loves us, and he died for us. No doubt about it. Loves us, died for us, washed our sins, cleansed us, so that we can be fruitful. The passage says, they came, they saw, they worshiped, they doubted. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus finds Peter fishing. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, I love you. He says, Peter, do you love me? Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Peter was hurt. Lord, you know I love you. Okay, then what are you doing fishing? Feed my lambs. Do you think I spent 3.5 years with you because I like you? I spent 3.5 years with you because I want you to serve me. I want you to realize that the answer is service. The answer is not stuff. It's serve. And I'm sorry, beloved, but I feel like this is a part of the secret meaning of all this COVID mess. We built all these buildings and all these special spaces and all this great stuff, and I'm guilty of it, my generation especially. We are just guilty of trying to give you church to meet all of your consumer needs, and the Lord has shut it all down. And the Lord is saying, this thing needs to be all about. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things we made it when it's all about him. And our whole mindset has to change. Praise God for the parking. Praise God for the lobbies. Praise God for children's ministry. I'm not saying we're never going to have children's ministry again. Praise God for that. But you need to understand, you don't go to church to be served. You go to church to serve. The Lord don't save you to make you. The Lord don't save you to make you rich. The reason why the Lord will make you rich is so he can use you. The Lord don't save you because he loves you. Sure, he loves you. But the Lord saves you because there's something he wants to get out of you, and that's service. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Part of the reason, part of the problem with most Christians is they haven't gone into all the world. Part of the reason why white evangelicals are having such a struggle with racism is because they haven't gone anywhere outside of Memphis. They ain't gone anywhere outside of Iowa. They haven't seen anybody go into all the world. See that everybody's a human. Everybody needs Christ. Get some humility. Go into all the world. What's Jesus saying? What's next? We've had Easter and I know most of the time at Easter service, we have a great big altar call and people come down and get saved. People who know who Jesus is. Very, very rarely is there anybody at the altar who don't know who Jesus is. I'm so glad you know him. But you being saved is as simple as you saying yes. What's harder is serving him. Most of the people that get saved don't stay. We have hundreds every year, son. We have hundreds, and we keep a small percentage of them because we're teaching you the wrong thing. Our job is not to follow you up. Our job is to help you. Your job is to follow us up. Your job is to say, I got to serve the Lord. Yeah, but I still have doubts. Yep, so do all of us. We all have doubts. Serve the Lord. For anybody that you know that is successful in Christianity, the common line through their life is service. They serving God somehow. Most of us who were raised in church and are still in church now are in because, not because our mamas made us go, but because our mamas made us serve. Oh, I need a witness in the building. They, you going to get on that usher board. You going to get up in that choir. I know that. You going to get over there and volunteer over there. You going to get over there. There's something about serving the Lord that takes your life to another level. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. I know that we've always analyzed it from the ministry perspective, but I want to analyze it from the what it will do for your life perspective, where it will take you higher perspective, where it will make your life greater perspective. I hope I haven't lost you this morning. I hope you understand my point. My point is your problem is that you're not serving. You don't need another word. Well, I'm going to run over here and get this word. And this was great. And after this, I'm going to go watch Elevation and get a little word from them. And then I'm going to go watch a little T.D. Jakes and get a word from him. And then I'm going to watch a little Joyce Meyer. And I love a little Andy Stanley. You just got so much on your plate. And you still are as weak as you've ever been because strength don't come from eating. Strength come from working out. Would to God that you could just get strong from eating. If eating made you strong, we'd have the strongest people in the world. Americans would be the strongest people on the planet if all it was about was food. I want to have service again, but I'm not reluctant, but I just want to make sure that you understand when you come back, you're not coming back to be served. You're coming back to serve. There's signs. There's results of service. Let me analyze. I'm running out of time. I know it's Easter, but I got this word. The Lord has shown this to me, and it's been messing with me. But he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe shall be condemned. Get yourself involved in the process of salvation. Stop trying to glean so much from salvation and add to it. Stop asking what salvation can do for you and decide to give your life in service. Nobody's saying full time. I'm just saying figure out how you gonna serve the Lord. And the verse 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. I'm saying these signs are the results of service. Number one, they shall drive out demons. My God. Are you blocked by the devil? Start serving. Feel like the enemy's in your way? Start serving. You feel like something is blocking you in your career? Start serving the Lord and see if demons don't flee. Serving moves the enemy. You get on God's side, and the next thing you know, doors open. Doors aren't just going to open because he loves you. Door going to open because he get to use you. Lord going to open the door because he sees people he can reach there. You know, he's not going to open the door just for you to have money. He going to open up the door so that you'll have money so you can fund what he wants done in the earth. You want the devil moved? You want to drive out demons? You get to serving and watch how the devil has to flee. Somebody said to me, I just feel like I'm blocked in my career. I wanted to say, do you serve? Do you serve? Do you help in any way? Are you greeting? Are you meeting people in the parking lot? Are you helping with the audiovisual team? Are you volunteering with children's ministry? Have you gone out for the worship team? Are you working with the youth? Are you a part of Projects of Hope? Are you feeding? Are you going to pray for folk in the nursery? Are you only focused on you, or have you decided to throw your lot in with God? Number two, he said, we will speak in new tongues. I know y'all want to talk about the Holy Ghost and the heavenly language, but I would contend that serving will fix your mouth problem. Part of the reason why you cussing everybody out is because you don't serve. Part of the reason why you can't control your mouth because you don't serve. Part of the reason why you saying all kinds of evil stuff is because you don't serve. Part of the reason why you have not learned to discipline your mouth is because you're not serving. Serving makes you say welcome. Serving makes you say so glad you're here. Serving makes you say thank you. Serving makes you say how can I help you. Serving makes you say, it's going to be better. I was talking to a young man, and he was telling me how, you know, it was his first time. He hadn't been in church. I was someplace, and they had service, and I was there. And afterwards, I was talking to this young man, and he was just like, yeah, man, you know, I pray on my own. I go to church, and I know God. I talk to Jesus. I pray, you know, I don't really go to church, you know. And I was like, and he said that to the wrong person. I said, oh, really? You know Jesus? How do you know Jesus and don't go to church? I said, and the reason why, he's like, there's too many hypocrites in church. I said, well, if there are hypocrites in church and you're not one, then you not attending doesn't help. How about you come so there won't be hypocrites? I said, the problem is that you're only thinking about church in terms of how it serves you. And maybe you don't need church to be saved, but what about the other person that does need it? It made me think about when we used to be in the old space, in the children's ministry space, when I sat 800 and I couldn't seat people. I used to walk in from the back. When I walked in from the back, I would look down the row, and if folk were not praising, I would make them stand up and worship. That's going to happen when you come back here. Ain't nobody going to be sitting in this room. After what you've been through, after the Lord spared your life, after you have survived COVID, after you have made it through many dangers, after God has protected you from danger seen and unseen, I know it ain't going to be hard for nobody to worship in here. But if you're not going to worship, then don't come, because we won't have seats for the non-worshippers. I would say that when I got on stage, if they didn't stand, every now and then, Johnny, somebody wouldn't stand, and I got on stage and would go off. I'd say, don't come here, because I'm not trying to be Moses with you. I'm trying to be Joshua. And when I say shout, I want you to shout. I don't care if you feel like shouting or not, because you may not be shouting for you. You don't know who you shouting for. You don't know who you praising for. You don't know like they know what they've been through, and maybe you're shouting for them. I said to this young man, the reason why you're not coming to church is because you see it the wrong way. You're not coming to church to be served. If you're so strong you don't need church, then you really need to be in church to help the people who need it. Fix your mouth problem. Your mouth will go home to a whole nother place. You'll have to know some word when you start talking to people. You have to know some Bible. You start counseling. Number three, they said, they shall pick up serpents, handling snakes. Let me apply that to your life. Serving protects you in business. All of y'all who is in business working with snakes on a regular basis, you are shaking hands with somebody that you know is shady, somebody you know is trying to get over, somebody you know is trying to take advantage of you. One of the reasons why we about to get out, we are not many, we 3 years left, we getting out this building. Part of the reason why we getting out this building is because the company that owns it, and I won't name them, they is some snaky people. My God, I can't wait till we free from the snakes that own this building. But thankfully, I've handled snakes and not got killed. Serving inoculates you against the grime you have to deal with in the world outside of church. Every lawyer needs to be serving. My God, every cop needs to be serving. All y'all do is see snakes. Every doctor needs to be serving. Every teacher needs to be serving. You got snakes in your class. Everybody needs to serve because serving protects you against snake bite. Number four, he says, if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Drink deadly poison. Let me break it down for you. Serving protects you from unseen danger. Don't nobody drink poison intentionally. Drinking poison means that you thought it was good and it ended up being poison. You thought he was straight and he ended up not being straight. You thought she was good and you found out she was nasty. You thought they were righteous and you found out they weren't righteous. You went on a date. You thought they were good and you found out. You thought they were real and when it all came off, it was all fake. You thought it was good and now you're still alive because you was protected from unseen danger. There's an old Kirk Franklin song. I pray that all the time. Watch over me and protect me from the things that I cannot see. Lord, protect me from danger seen and unseen. If somebody tricks me, it won't kill me. Somebody fools me, it won't kill me. Somebody betrays me, it won't kill me. Somebody looks like a sheep, but really they a wolf, it won't kill me. I wish I had a witness in the building. Somebody that can say they left me and I got stronger. They hurt me and I got stronger. They lied on me and somehow not only was I not hurt by it, but I went to another level. They thought they were feeding me poison, and I drank it and burped, and actually I felt better than I've ever felt. And they wondered, what is wrong? How could they not? It's because I'm too vital. Like David says to God, nobody from the grave praises you. David understood it. David understood his relationship with God got to be the good outweighs the bad. He's like, Lord, look, I done looked at myself in the mirror. I know what a wretch I am. Look, amazing grace is a good thing I serve. Number five, I'm almost done. I know you're hearing a word from the Lord. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Sick. Recover. Sick, get well. Serving heals. Serving heals. You bitter? Start serving. Got unforgiveness? Start serving. Angry? Start serving. Envious? Start serving. Hate people? Start serving. I was watching something that was, it was some kind of article or something about a white man who was a part of the Klan. He was a Klan member. And then his daughter, or I think it was his daughter, got pregnant by a black man, had a son that looked like his, that looked like him, black, looked like him. He had to take care of the little boy. And in serving that little boy, his heart turned. You full of hate till you start serving. I wish I had a way. You full of envy till you start serving. You full of malice till you start serving. If you a hater, it's because you don't serve. You envious, it's because you don't serve. You jealous, it's because you don't serve. Serving will heal you. Serving won't just heal your body. Serving will heal your mind. Resurrection, now what? What's next? Service. I don't want to just have service. I want you to be a part of service. What's God saying to us post-COVID? He's saying, time to serve. Tell somebody, time to serve. Elbow. Somebody tell, time to serve. Let me close out with this question that I hear coming through the cameras, and that is, how do I serve the Lord? You don't have to worry, baby, because I'm going to be telling you for the rest of the year what's next as you serve. How do I serve the Lord? I'll give you three ways, but you're going to be hearing this stuff again. I'll give you three ways to serve the Lord. Number one, you serve him in your giving. Number two, you serve him in your working. Number three, you serve him in your living. Giving, working, living. Giving, working, living. My life serves him. Lord has blessed me so I can serve him with my giving. Lord has blessed me so I can serve him with my time and my talent. And I've got this ability and I'm going to give that to the church. I'm going to go and volunteer. I'm going to work. I'm going to get up early and get there. And I'm going to be a part of the gatekeepers or the armor bearers or the greeters. I'm going to hang signs. I'm going to put some sweat instead of me just working for my own pocket. I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to give him praise. I'm telling you right now, when you come back here for church, I can't wait till you fill every single seat and every place is jammed and every spot is jammed. I can't wait till you're here. I know y'all want to have church, but I want to have it when I can fill every seat. I'm just praying that the numbers will go down, praying that the vaccinations will keep going up, praying. I don't want to meet when we can only have 300, 500. I want to meet when we can jam this place out. And we may meet before that, but I want to jam it out. And I want you to know when you come here, you will be coming here not to be blessed, but to be a blessing. You'll be here to bring your anointing and your spirit and your energy and your gift. My gift is small, it is my all. Except that, Lord, I pray, let self be slain. Let Jesus reign. That's an old hymn. The Lord has gotten our attention. And the answer is, I serve. Let's serve him right now. Come on, let's give right now. Come on, let's serve right now. I know many of you, you were here when we gave in the first offering and you didn't even give, but I'm telling you, you want to be blessed, you got to serve the Lord. You got to serve him with your tithe. You have to serve him with your offering. Your giving is a part of serving. Your giving is a part of serving. A part of how you serve is that you give. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men pour into your lap because you provide for the kingdom. We're talking kingdom in here. God don't need your money. The kingdom does. So right now, you could text right now, WOE online to 77977 for all of you that have given, you know, who give on a regular basis. Come on, let's give an offering. It's Easter. Let's give an offering to the house of God. I've been challenging everybody every Sunday for more than a year now to give at least $50 above your tithes and offerings. Some of you, $50 is nothing. Right now, there are many of you who have more than ever before, and God is speaking to you about how you serve the Lord. I was telling someone about how we first started World Overcomers, how we got a prophecy that was a building ready for our arrival. We were going to meet in a school when we first started World Overcomers, but we got a prophecy from Dr. Mark Sharona. There's a building waiting for you, and we started to look for the building, and James and Colin, and they were looking for the building, and they couldn't find the building. Finally, we just decided we'll make signs and meet in a hotel, and when they went into a sign shop, there was a man in there that owned the sign shop. He said, "What are y'all making these signs for?" And they said, "Well, we're about to start a church." And he said, "I'm about to buy a building that I think will be amazing for a church." He said, "It's not on the market yet because I haven't bought it yet. But I think it'll be amazing for a church. Why don't you come see it?" And they went to see it. They said to him, "We're just getting going. I don't know if we have everything that we need. I mean, how are we going to pay you? And I don't know if actually we have everything." And he said, "I hear you, but," he said, "before my grandmother died, my grandmother told me, Dennis," his name was Dennis. His grandmother said, "Dennis, one of these days, you're going to have an opportunity to serve the Lord." He's a white man. Tall, older white man. "One of these days, you're going to have an opportunity to serve the Lord." He said, "I feel like this is that opportunity." He let us get in there and start working before any contracts was signed. He's not alive anymore, but I'm sure he's with the Lord. Maybe he was like you. Maybe he was thinking, "I have not done good. There's been stuff that I regret. There's doubts I have. There are mistakes that I've made. Oh, my Lord, I wish I had a witness. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply, 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 deeply stained within. But the master of the sea heard my cry. But in myself, I failed the Lord. In myself, I make mistakes. My God, my hand is up. In myself right now, there's things that I'm not proud of. There's things I know I need him. I'm going to give." He said, "I'm not a perfect man, but I'm a giving man." I'm telling you right now, I'm not a perfect man, but I'm a serving man. That ain't a perfect man, but that's a serving man. I'm not a perfect man, but I'm a used man. Sometimes the more imperfect, the more you want to be used. The one who is forgiven much gives much. Can I get you to give? I honestly believe that everything we've done is added to that man's account. Because having a building gave us credibility at a whole nother level. I don't know if we would have got to 5,000 people in 5 years without a building. This is your opportunity to serve the Lord. Serve him with your giving. Serve him with your working. Serve him with your life. Can I get you to give? I'm not going to beg you, but I want you to give. It's Easter Sunday. Normally Easter Sunday is a powerful, powerful Sunday, not just in numerically, but financially. Everybody comes to church, and everybody that owes God gives to God. "What shall I render unto God for as many benefits towards me?" Can I get you to give to the work of the kingdom of God? And everything you give is going to where we're going. All these second offerings. We getting our building fund stuff together. We ain't calling it building fund. We just getting you to sow in faith. But you giving to the building fund. Because we have not got long to stay here. Come on, let's bow our heads and pray. God, thank you for Easter. Thank you for another Sunday. Thank you for another opportunity. Thank you for another moment. Thank you for everyone, the thousands and thousands watching around the world that got a chance to hear a word from you. God, I pray that you'll take this offering and multiply it supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. Multiply it back supernaturally so that we can serve you. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. God bless you as you give. So glad you were with us today. God bless you as you give. So glad you were with us today. So glad you tuned in. So glad you heard a word. I know it's Easter, but we'll be right back here next Sunday. You can come and meet us here. We're having service on Wednesday nights. Myself and really Pastor Al really has been dropping some just knowledge, just some depth. And sometimes we just need some depth. We just need some good, solid teaching, something that just shares with us. And faith comes by hearing and hearing. Something wrong with you if you can't hear a word if I don't speak it. Me and Pastor Al, that's my partner in crime here at World Overcomers. And so we are sharing a word with you. I'm not saying I'm not going to share on Wednesday nights, but both of us are sharing right now. Pastor Al is dropping it. And so come Wednesday nights, this devotional, Sunday morning right here. World Overcomers, I want to see you next Sunday until we are able to meet again. And right now we're saying tentatively June 5th. I know you want us to give a hard date, but we're about to put out what it's going to take for you to register for our first service. The 6th. I keep saying the 5th. It's the 6th. June 6th is that Sunday. The 6th. June 6th. That's what we're looking at tentatively. I know we had talked about May, but I'm saying June 6th now. And if you really want us to meet on June 6th, register. Start to register because everyone else wants to meet. I just want a certain amount of people to register first. And so I need to see 3,000 people register. So register. You want to have service? Register. And June 6th is tentatively when we're talking about having service. I can't wait to see you. And it's been so good. Come on, let's pray one more time. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for living so big in us. Thank you for speaking to us and through us. Thank you for your anointing that destroys the yoke. Destroy the yoke. Break the yoke in us. Thank you, Lord God, that our lives are imperfect, our marriages are imperfect, our minds are imperfect, our bodies are imperfect, our children are imperfect, our companies are imperfect, our businesses are imperfect. Lord, thank you that all of this imperfection and all of this doubt doesn't bother you when it comes to you using us. We're here to serve. Dismiss us from this place. Bring us back together until we can meet again. And until then, God, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. And God, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give them peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. God bless you. See you next time.